The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at producer T. Scott, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. Missed the first 2 hours, a lot of sports, and then a little travel. And all available at podcastarena.com. Go and check it out. And one more hour to go in the week for us.
That's it.
Any minute now.
We are out of here.
Well, first we're going to be joined at some point here, any minute, by our buddy RJ.
Oh, Bell. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
So, and we'll talk a little.
I didn't mean to skip ahead.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It's like, then we're out of here after right. The next hour. Well, now 58 minutes. But we'll have RJ on to talk about the playoff games this weekend. And then won't be much left of the show after that.
No.
So we'll crank it up and get you out of here. So if you're just getting in your car, welcome. If you missed the first 2 hours, sorry. There's some good stuff there. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, about you, but I enjoyed it. People telling me that I'm guessing that there's a reason all these places made the list, because almost every single one of them, somebody has something good to say about. I went there and it was fantastic. Longhorn Dimitri says he's got his 4-year-old this weekend and he was dancing to the Gym of the Day song. Kids love the Gym of the Day song.
They do.
It is that is why
it's a very popular choice.
That is why it's an international super hit.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest songs ever conceived, and kids love it. I think that's a big key is to have, because those are kids that will still be singing the Gym of the Day 20 years
that's
from now,
right.
When you're long gone and dead.
I caught them young.
Yeah, exactly.
Like R. Kelly. Not the same way.
Don't admit to that on air, please.
It's true. Or like your doppelganger.
Stop. somebody asked, Fred, what's the name of the investment app you used to promote, and do you still recommend it? Yeah, Robinhood. I was using it before they
were advertising.
And I used it since, and I think they'll be back at some point. But, I still use it. That's where I have all my CGC stock. And right now we're on Canopy Growth Corp. It's gone back down. So right now it's basically where we bought it. And we've got a bunch of Garmin
stock. Buying more?
We're buying more because it doubled at one point and we sold off some of it, basically what our investment was. So worst case scenario, we're even. So then, yeah. Now that it's dropped again, we basically bought it back at that price.
All right.
So I mean, it's a long-term thing. We're thinking this is something that 3 or 4 years down the road is going to explode. So that's why we're sticking with it. But they're still working out the laws up there. And this is a cannabis stock, and when I was up there, there was a dispensary in Regina, and it was closed because they didn't have enough product yet. And that's
should have checked the bush.
Obviously, that's the place you're supposed to go, but they haven't worked out edibles yet or things like that, and so they've got to get the supply up. And I know a lot of states went through this when they first. California had a big shortage at the beginning too. So once that happens, since they have all the contracts to do it, it should explode. Joe says, I know it's early, but not looking forward to the beat to death storyline of Rivers replacing Breeze if it's Chargers Saints in the Super Bowl.
That'll be beat to death.
It will be.
But I don't know. I've often wondered. I mean, obviously the Saints are glad that they got the guy they got, but I mean, Philip Rivers has had a pretty damn good career in San Diego slash LA.
It seemed like his best chance was early, though, when he had LaDainian Tomlinson, and they had some really good teams with Marty Schottenheimer. I mean, not that this one doesn't have a chance.
This team's got a pretty good shot. They were, what, a game out of the best record in the the NFL?
I mean, I think this is probably the best team he's been on since then. So, okay. So RJ will join us in a couple minutes. Yeah. It's funny, one thing about RJ that I really like, besides knowing all the stuff he knows about gambling, I really admire people who've had both successes and failures in business, and with what he's built that company into. I've had some really good conversations with him about business, and him, David Gow, I mentioned when Bob McNair died, that's a guy that I talked to a lot about. I try to learn as much as I can from people like that, because most of them, I mean, they've all been successful, but they've all had things that haven't worked.
Right.
And sometimes you learn as much from that as you do anything else, but it's really cool to have that kind of, to see the success that people have and how they've accomplished it, and what they had to go through to get there, because I guarantee you, in most cases, it wasn't easy. There was no shortcut. So 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If you want to text the show, got questions for RJ about the games, we'll try to work them in, although we usually do pretty okay on our own. So I should always have a story planned for the first segment of when RJ's coming on, because he's always just finishing his show. How about this? I'll throw a couple coordinators for you. Steve Wilkes, possible in Cleveland, is defensive coordinator.
Okay.
Bears interested in Chuck Pagano.
And then should
be. I threw out for here.
Yeah.
Which I'd like to see that, because I think the Bears, boy, that's an appealing job right now for
no
a defensive coordinator.
No doubt. Because that's a job that could lead you to another head coaching job.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I think that's a guy who... I think he might deserve another chance at some point if he can have success again as a coordinator, because I thought he did a really good coaching job with teams with a team that was totally quarterback oriented and lost its quarterback.
Yeah.
And they were still winning 8-7 games when Andrew Luck was unable to play very well. So Ashton asked, are you surprised so many draft picks are working out so quickly? Derwin James, Darius Leonard, Leighton Vander Esch. Not really. I mean, I think every year there's always 4 or 5 guys who step in and play really well right off the bat, especially defensively. I think you can get guys who are impact guys pretty easily there.
I think so, too. And I think that, maybe the most impactful guy as far as playoff guys is with the Colts is Quentin Nelson. And when you're a mauler, he looks exactly like he looked in college last year. So it's not like it doesn't take a lot. I mean, there's some of these positions that takes a while. There's some that don't take as long. So that's pretty much every season.
All right. Joining us now is the gambling guru of the universe, the star of pretty much everything now, national show, pregame.com.
Ballers.
And our good friend RJ Bell. What's going on, RJ?
You know, guys, I'm excited because – when you have 16 games, you're going to find like 16, you got 16 different sides you might like, maybe some totals. But then if you think about 4 games, on one hand, you've got to be afraid of betting too many sides, right? So let's start with that advice, which is you certainly do not want to bet more than one side. On average. Now, I get it. It's possible you could like more than one, but think about it. How many sides, and I think we talked about this last week, right? Fred, you said maybe 1 to 2 a week in the NFL, and AJ said like 3.
Yeah.
Right? So that's less than 25% of the games you bet the side during the regular season. If you bet one game this weekend on the side, it's going to be 25%. So the idea of betting 2 or 3, it'd be like betting 8 or 12 NFL games during the regular season. So be careful. Now, what's exciting is it lets me put quadruple the time in each game. So I've got a team total I like. I've got a correlated parlay I like. And here's what I would say about all that.
And RJ, we trust you. What's up? Throw on them, baby. Here we go.
Let's get it.
Tuition paid.
That's what I like. Tuition paid. That's what I need.
In RJ, we trust, guys.
Well, so as far as Fred and I have discussed, the only side that both of us like to this point is Indianapolis. I'm probably going to sprinkle some Indianapolis money line. I think maybe I said this last week. I think to you, I think Indianapolis might be the best, if not the best team. They're vastly underrated with how they've looked in the second half of the season. I think that the weather concerns that everybody seems to have, besides the, you know, Indies being a dome team. So of course everybody says, oh, well, the dome team playing outdoors. But when you think about the way these teams are built, I'll take the team that's more likely to want to run the football, and that's been the Colts lately. And the Chiefs, since they lost Kareem Hunt, have not been very effective running the football. And if the weather's bad, I don't trust a quarterback making his first career NFL start. We saw how that went last week. Seems like a really good spot for the Colts, getting points where I mean, getting 5.5 points where I think these teams are close to even.
So first playoff start, we've got a stat on that one. And actually, now that we got our own show, we got some producers are doing good research, so we've got some stuff you haven't seen anywhere else, and I'll be putting more of it on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Here's a great one, though. We looked at all 32 starting quarterbacks, and we said, all right, take away the non-playoff starters, meaning they've never started, obviously not applicable. Now, take away when a first-time starter, as I call a virgin starter, played another virgin starter. Now, I saw that movie once, Virgin, but we take that away, right? Throw it out. Now, what do you got? Virgin starter against a non-virgin starter in the playoffs. 20 times that's happened with the quarterbacks in the league right now. Mahomes is going to be the 21st. The virgin starter, Mahomes in this case, is 2-17-1 against the spread. Two winners, 17 losers, one push. By the way, that push was the tuck game with Brady back with the Raiders, right? And doesn't mean it's a lot, guys, but I do think it affirms the idea that experience in the playoffs for the quarterback matters, because remember, the spread accounts for everything else. If it was a bad team that just slipped in the playoffs, well, it would have been accounted for in the line. If it was a road game, whatever. The theory is the spread is supposed to split the favorite and the dog 50-50 long term. The fact it's 2-17-1 in this case gives you a strong indication, especially if you add in the logic behind it. To me, I like a trend that has logic behind it. So we both have the logic in this case. Experience matters with quarterbacks and numbers behind it. Now, here's what concerns me. The Colts are playing a third straight road game. Kansas City had a fairly easy week 17 game, lane 14 or whatever, then a bye. So to me, at some point you run out of gas. Also, if you're the Colts. Also, what concerns me is the idea of the in, or not the idea, but the injuries in the Colts defensive backfield. And the safeties are especially clustered up injury-wise. Now, they might be hobbled, they might play, and I'm certainly no expert on how good each of these safeties are, but my sense is, and I've got a guy who's a player prop specialist, and I've got a guy who loves Kelce over. So in a way, I agree with you on the Colts. I'm a little concerned. So this is only my second favorite pick. I'm a little concerned about fatigue for the Colts, but I do like, if you like Kansas City and you want to root that way, I think Kelce over yardage might be a good bet.
Don't you think, though, when, like, I always hear, and I guess you can make the same argument for the Chargers, like, they're exhausted because of the
for
travel
sure,
and things
going
like that.
To.
But don't you think in the playoffs that's almost negligible? Like, by this point, these guys are so greatly motivated that things like that, I wouldn't imagine, could bother them that much.
I actually think the opposite. Because I think whenever there's fatigue, it's driven by physical fatigue for NFL players and emotional fatigue. Meaning, and we've all had this experience before, right? Or maybe not all of us, but I know me, AJ, and Fred have. which is you play poker for like 14 hours and you feel at the end, you go home and you can't go to sleep.
Oh, yes.
Right? You think, wait a minute, you just did something mentally taxing for... No, it's not so much doing... the human body, you know, if you're healthy, it's usually fatigue. Now, obviously, at a certain point, you get physically tired. But fatigue is oftentimes about anxiety. It's about, feeling dread. I think of the Colts. They're flying in all the preparation to beat Tennessee, and it's a must-win game. Then all the prep to beat Houston. It's a must-win game. Now all the prep. You're telling me in the fourth quarter, the Colts aren't going to be wrung out where the Chiefs are going to be, you know, still strong. Doesn't mean I don't like the Colts. I'm saying I think it's a factor that matters physically and the psychological or emotional anxiety, however you want to describe the drain when you're intently focused on something for an extended period of time when the stakes are high.
I'll say this, and this has happened for me in fighting and in, you know, playing football growing up, things like that. When you're winning, how tired you are in the third round or the fourth quarter of a game matters so much less than if you're losing. So, I mean, to me, if I like the Colts, I'm not worried about them getting tired at the end, because usually the team that's more tired is the team that's been getting beat for three quarters.
You know something? I got to give AJ the biggest kudos ever. So this is like our fifth or sixth year doing this segment. It's the first time he's ever used his professional UFC fighting as an example. I think that you should probably be using it, you know, like with our segment, probably at least once a month. So obviously you're not one to say, oh, by the way, if you didn't know, I was a UFC fighter, or not UFC, but a MMA fighter. So to me, kudos, right? One, two, you make a great point, and I think it makes my point, though. Now, who was the Russian guy that was had the beer belly, but he knocked everyone out?
Fedor Emelianenko.
Exactly, Fedor. Didn't they? I remember Joe Rogan talking about this a lot, where the thing about Fedor was that he'd be in spots where almost anyone else in the world would be freaking out, and he was like dead calm.
Yes.
Right? So doesn't that presuppose that there's that anxiety, that core, I don't, you know, whatever that enzyme is, you know it when you start, you know, like let's say that you are fibbing to the wife. Let's say, I know you guys wouldn't, you know, fib, but
no,
let's
of course
say someone,
not.
Someone might, and all of a sudden you start feeling like, uh-oh, you're going to get caught. You know that feeling, like your vein starts, you know? I've heard about this from other people. But the point of fact is there is that feeling of dread in your stomach, and I think if you're playing a bunch of must-win games, it's hard to imagine that doesn't take something out of you.
The one that does worry me, and you know, the point you made with Emelianenko, and I think the reason why he was always in a fight and guys always fought scared with him is because he was widely regarded as the greatest. And if the Colts are intimidated by the Chiefs, I could see that being a factor. I could see them, you know, late in the game, letting themselves just make some stupid mistake that gets them beat. But I don't know if Andrew Luck is intimidated by that team. And honestly, I don't know if anybody should be intimidated by an Andy Reid coach team in the playoffs.
Well, that's a catch-22, right? And I'm actually a big believer that Andy Reid in the playoffs is just as good as any other time. It's just sample size. And it's the same thing Billy Beane says about Moneyball and its relative lack of success in the playoffs. The theory is when you have 162 games to find the truth, and then you've got seven games or five or whatever, now in the current situation, one game to find the truth, there's a lot more luck involved. And to me, it just doesn't make sense. Andy Reid, a guy that, I mean, right now, it would be impossible not to have him in your top five coaches, right?
Yeah.
All right. So a top five coach that is the best the world has ever seen off a bye. Now, if you say regular season bye versus playoff bye, he's better in the regular season. But again, there's only a handful of playoff byes. So to me, I try, if I tell you, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's something like he's 23-4 off a bye, but he's like, you know, 2-2 in the playoffs, and then, you know, 21-2 or whatever in the regular season, some variation of that. Do you believe the 2-2 is, oh, see, it's the playoffs, or do you believe all 25 games? So to me, you've got a top five coach off a bye. He's the best bye coach ever. And then you've got this little tiny sample that says he underperforms in the playoffs. I usually, if not always, believe the bigger number.
Which is fair, but I do think that, you know, playoffs, it's just a different level of intensity, and we tend to either credit or discredit wins and losses, maybe even more than we should. But that goes for players too. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is probably going to get into the Hall of Fame not based on what he's done in the regular season, but based on what he's done in the postseason. Same with Eli Manning.
Hold on a second. Did you just misspeak Eli Manning for Ben?
I was speaking of both of them.
If Big Ben didn't win any Super Bowls, he would make the Hall of Fame.
You think so?
And it would. Oh my God! Have you ever watched him play?
Yeah.
You don't think he's one of the five best quarterbacks of this generation?
How many MVPs does he have?
I don't. But now we're going into a guy who is like the ultimate cynic when it comes to things like popularity votes. Is using MVP as the guide. Come on.
I mean, that's typically when you're the best player in the league.
Let me ask you a question. You're betting your house on a game. Every quarterback since 2000 could be your opponent. Where's Big Ben on that list?
Want to face him?
Yeah.
I mean, he's behind Brady, obviously. He's probably behind Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson? Okay.
All right. Yeah, how about this, RJ? Can I change my Ben Roethlisberger take and say Terry Bradshaw? If Terry Bradshaw didn't have his postseason success, he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame? Or Troy Aikman?
You mean if he didn't win his four Super Bowls?
Or Troy Aikman? That's what I'm saying, though. If you're going to say, if that's such a small sample of what he really is, just those playoff runs, then that's what I'm saying. We weigh that heavier than we do any similar sample in the regular season.
Let me try to reframe your point and see if we can agree on this. If what you're saying, it's a very friendly
reframe
way
reframe your
it.
Point.
please tell me what I meant.
No, but tell me if this is what you're trying to say. Is that Terry Bradshaw's overrated? Meaning if you look at his regular season performance or his overall performance, all games blended, and then you look at his playoff performance is significantly better and people weight that more. Thus, he's overrated. You believe that all the games tell the true story. And if so, I accept that. I agree with you, actually. But that doesn't mean Bradshaw wasn't an elite quarterback for the time. Meaning the stats, don't go with stats. Look at Joe Namath's stats, right? Don't go by stats as much. Or you can go by stats, but go by relative stats to the era, right? But I think Bradshaw was probably the sixth or seventh best quarterback of his era. But he's going to go down as like the second or third best because of all that. But it doesn't mean he's not a Hall of Famer, borderline, or not borderline, I think clear Hall of Famer. Big Ben's the same way. He might be a little overrated because of all those two Super Bowls. But I think Big Ben, if you blend all the games, is still a Hall of Fame quarterback.
But I think because Big Ben's won multiple Super Bowls, there's not even a debate.
I agree. So you're saying he's overrated, but you're not saying Big Ben isn't a super elite quarterback.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, I mean, he's going to be in the same Hall of Fame as Tom Brady. So I'm just saying that.
Well, but Big Ben would have been in that same Hall of Fame with no Super Bowls. He just would have been lower in whatever the pantheon, you know, whatever the totem pole is.
That's fair. And Derek Jeter, you can say, is the same way. If the Yankees never made the playoffs with Derek Jeter and he still had all his same numbers, he probably makes the Hall of Fame, but he's not like a near unanimous first ballot lock.
And let me ask you one more time, because it seems like you're avoiding the question. Who would you want to bet your house against least?
I'll put Ben Roethlisberger in my top five the last 20 years.
Okay, that sounds like a Hall of Famer to me, Brad. Okay. What do you think?
I think a little more highly of Roethlisberger than AJ does, but that's okay.
And I'll tell you this, as a guy who's been whining lately, and this is me, about how I can't relate to Le'Veon Bell and I can't relate to the Steelers like I used to as a fan. Big Ben is a man. I mean, I've seen that guy take hits that literally there'd be like a couple days of critical, but we're optimistic he's going to make it kind of thing. And he's back 10 minutes later playing. I mean, I saw, again, I was a kid. But, you know, there's the famous, Deacon Jones or whatever, put Bradshaw on his head, I think it was. But I would say if you say the 20 worst hits a quarterback's ever taken and returned to a game, Big Ben, that I've seen during my 48 years on Earth, Big Ben probably has half of them. Now, I've watched more Steeler games. He's a man.
Maybe we ought to get to some of these other games before we run out of time.
We can do that. Or we could just, I mean, we could debate Big Ben's balls for the rest of the day. Either way, it's fine. Well,
I'm not saying that. I'm just talking. He's a tough guy.
No, I know exactly what you're trying to say, RJ. I know what you think. I've heard the rumors.
I'm not
rumors.
Even sure what you're saying now.
Well, let's get to the Rams-Cowboys game. And I've seen this number at 7. I've seen it at 7.5. I keep waiting to see it at 6.5, which I'm guessing I'm not going to see at this point. I want to find a reason to play the Rams because I've been thinking all year long the Cowboys are overrated. I don't think I want to play them at 7. It would have to be under 7, and it looks like I'm not going to get that. What's the thinking on the way the Rams-Cowboys line will move by kickoff?
You know, that's interesting. I haven't even thought of it. I would say...
Typically, we think the Cowboys is a very public team.
Yeah, but so are the Rams this year. Remember, the better... it's pretty rare, you know, when there's a public dog, which there sometimes is, it's so rare it has a name. Like, that's a public dog. So, and I can... You know, one of the nicest things up at pregame.com, in fact, this is one of a kind. No one else has it for free. You go to the game center, it's a link, and then you click consensus. You can see the bet percentages and the cash percentages. So right now, 70% of the cash has been on Dallas and 61% of the tickets, the bets on Dallas. So that's interesting. I actually wouldn't have guessed that. So, but right now, I'm seeing 7.5s. I can get Dallas right now. It's set, right now, the Rams in Vegas at the MGM and at stations, let me pull that up, are 7-20. So if anything, that's effectively 7.5 because 7's only worth about 10 cents.
Right.
So really, I can take Dallas plus 7 plus 100 right now. So I would much more think it's going to go to 7.5 before it goes to 6.5.
So what's your lean on this one?
Here is my professional tip, two-team correlated parlay. I am playing Dallas on the money line, okay? Oof. That's plus 270. And then I'm parlaying it with the under 49.5.
We talked about this yesterday, and I'm guessing your reasoning is because if it gets into a high-scoring game, the Cowboys don't really have a chance. And my example yesterday was if the Rams get up 14, the Cowboys, they've lost the game. So if
I agree. That's why taking 7.5 doesn't interest me as much, or 7 even money, same thing, because I expect a third of the time or whatever to be down 14 if I'm getting 7.5, and that's a horrible spot for Dallas. So by focusing my exposure, by saying give me 2.7 times as much money when I win, but I'm just going to win less, that means the only time the last quarter of the game really matters is when Dallas is playing their best. Meaning if Dallas is down 14, I lose probably, and who cares, because I'm going to lose most of the time when I'm plus 270. But if it's a tie game, down 4, whatever, Dak can come back. We've seen that. Well, then I feel like Dallas gets to run the ball with Zeke in that spot. And by the way, the worst rush defense in the NFL per yard, per carry, the Rams. And I also think we've got a Goff who seems to get nervous in some of these big games. Let's just say he's underperformed in the biggest games, right? So we saw it against the Eagles. So to me, I get to expose myself to Dallas in the spot I'm interested in having Dallas, which is if it's a close game. And now close your eyes, because you got to do this in the right order. If Dallas wins outright, what percentage of the time does it go under 50?
It's got to be 60? Close to 60%.
I think so. So I like Dallas on the money line in general because of football science, the game handicap, and then I correlate it. 100 wins you 620, guys. So if only 1 out of 7 times Dallas wins and it goes under, we win. I think it's much better than that. There you go. It's free for you, Fred.
Well, let's talk about the Chargers-Patriots. My thought on this game was I tend to believe the over might be the way I'll look because there was some initial panic about what the weather was going to be, and it pushed the total down. And then if you look today, what the weather's going to be like Sunday afternoon, it's going to be cold, but it's like 5 mile an hour winds, no precipitation. I mean, it's nothing that should run off any kind of offense. And if you're telling me the Chargers and Patriots, the total's 47.5, that seems like a very reasonable number to get an over. And obviously, I know you're going to have something to say about the travel for the Chargers as far as that +4 is concerned.
Well, listen, that's a new technique of AJ. When he likes a side, he can just say, oh, I'm going to quickly poo-poo this major point.
I'm not poo-pooing. I don't like a side. I know that's going to be
it. All right.
You made it clear earlier that was part of what you said you were going to get to.
And I agree is if you look at the Chargers, week 17, they went from L.A. to Denver and back. Week one of the playoffs, they went all the way to Baltimore, played a very physical game against a quirky offense, and then all the way back home, now all the way to New England, over 10,000 miles. And in that time, Belichick has traveled 9 miles just back and forth from his house. They haven't left since week 15, the Pats. And what team is going to benefit more from rest than a very old Tom Brady? We've seen him drop off at various points. Not only aren't they traveling, they were double-digit favorites. Easy win over the Bills, week 16. Easy win over the Jets, week 17. This is a dream spot. I've never seen such a disparate rest quotient situation, whatever you want to call it. Patriots about as rested as you can be. Chargers about as fatigued as you can be. Pats have won 15 straight home games, 12-3 against the spread, 22 degrees, not good for the Chargers. Oh, by the way, last five games, the Chargers have gained on average per game yardage-wise 282 yards. Over the season, that would be number 31 in the NFL. So there's something wrong with Rivers. It strikes me, just the eye test. And oh, by the way, 8 games against Belichick. He's 1-7, Rivers is, and he won against Castle, 0-7 against Brady. And in those 8 games, 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. So a borderline Hall of Famer, certainly Big Ben gets in before him, but okay, borderline Hall of Famer is 10-10 over a half a season. When you play 8 games against Belichick, that's a half a season. He's got his number, and I'm laying 4 here. My favorite side of the week, Patriots.
Real quick, we're way over as usual, but any quick thoughts on Saints and Eagles? Saints, I'm seeing -8 right now on your game center.
Probably my favorite bet of the week. And by the way, guys, we do a podcast. We did 2 hours. Me, Fezzik, Brad Powers, who's on with you guys on Thursday. We did 2 hours on these 4 games. So if you just search for RJ Bell on your favorite pod player, there it is. Good stuff. My favorite pick of all of these, every pick, even the correlated parlay, is Saints over 29.5 team total. What's funny?
What's funny is when we were talking about these games in the 5 o'clock hour, I said, I don't know where I lean because I don't want to give 8 points. It just seems like a lot of points to give. I said, I feel like the Saints are going to score as much as they want. I don't know what the Eagles are going to do, so I don't know if I like the total. And I don't know if it was me or Fred said team total, and I was like, that might be the way to go. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it because look at it. I think there's a narrative out there that the Saints, they got beat by Dallas, and then they played 2 more road games. They didn't look good on offense. So, what's wrong with the offense? Here's the last 5 road or home games for the Saints. The points they scored, 31, 31, 48, 45, 43. That's not the problem, the offense. Now, how do they match up? Eagle strength is what? D-line. Well, Saints have a great O-line, and Breeze gets rid of the ball so fast, doesn't really matter, that quote-unquote pressure. D-backs, horrible for the Eagles. Saints will exploit it. First time they played, and the D-backs were banged up there, 48 points for Breeze and the Saints. Since then, the Eagles have played Eli, Colt McCoy / Sanchez, that sounds like a horror movie, Dak, Goff, who looked horrible, and it wasn't the defense, and fourth-string quarterback Johnson. The only other for the Skins, the only other exception was Watson, who's good. They gave up 30 against Watson. So the Eagles have just as weak a secondary as we thought they had, just no one's been around to exploit it. I agree with you. Nick Foles, the best passer rating in the history of the playoffs. It's true. I don't want to bet against him. I know it might just be, psychology or I'm scared. So why not just say, the one thing I know this week, this will be a dramatic ending, ready? The one thing I know this week, is that the Saints are going to get their points. And 29.5, that's a nice number, over best bet of the week.
All right, I love it. RJ, great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you next week in person. We'll be out there. So
should be fun, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, take care, man. All right, I have to tell you about Gulf Greyhound Park, where live racing is going on right now every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 7 o'clock, and on Sundays at noon. So if you're looking for something to do this weekend, we can go watch the football games and gamble on live Greyhound racing tomorrow at 7, Sunday at noon. And head on out there. Easy to find. Exit 15 off the Gulf Freeway in Lamarck. And you can go out there any day and get simulcasting. 7 days a week. Gates open daily at 11. You can bet your favorite horse tracks. You can bet your favorite Greyhound tracks. But if you want to catch the live racing, now's your time to do it. Because it's a very short meet. They're going to wrap it up at the end of February. Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday live racing. Sundays at noon. The first three are at 7 o'clock. So go out there, and on a nice night, man, it's fun to sit out there, watch those dogs, and it's very exciting. Make some money. We'll be out there, I believe February 7th is when we're scheduled to be out there. Check them out. For more information, GulfGreyhound.com, GulfGreyhound.com.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
To find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here.
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Make sure you check out sportsmap.com. Greatest sports website in the city of Houston, without a doubt. That's three today. You're closing in on record numbers. So what's your...
the really record numbers? Come on.
You had like
I've been better.
5 day one time, but there's not much time left in the show, so I don't think you're going to do that today.
No, probably not.
Got any big plans this weekend other than football?
A lot of football. I'm going up to Conroe tonight to drink beer. There's a brewery, beer release at Copperhead Brewing, which I've never been to. Tyler, you're going out there?
I will be there, yep.
Tyler's been there a couple times. He's the old wise one in this setting.
I see.
I'm going to be following his lead. Besides that, no big plans. Just enjoy some of our last games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
We talked about it earlier. After this weekend, there's only three games left.
Yeah. And... I mean, the good news is, I think no matter what the matchups are, the last three ought to be okay. I mean, there's a possibility.
There's a possibility of Cowboys-Eagles.
Nah, I don't want to see that again. I don't think anybody wants to see that again.
I mean, Cowboys and Eagles fans.
If that happens, there is no God.
That's what I'm saying.
But, yeah, I think that's my main weekend plan. I may go for a bike ride, depending on the weather, and just keep spoiling the puppy. That's
good times.
Pretty much it, you know. Spend a lot more time at home. And I've got some projects I'm working on that for the future here at Gal Media. So I'll probably do some work at home this weekend. But that's about it. I'll probably post a look at the matchups after the game Sunday.
Okay.
Just so that people have something to take a look at. All right. Man, one thing about RJ, though, that I wanted to bring up, because I wanted to bring it up with him and we really didn't have time. Would you guess that Andy Reid's playoff record is, including a run to the Super Bowl?
It's under 500, including that run to the Super Bowl.
11-13.
Yeah.
1-4 with Kansas City. 10-9 with the Eagles. And those are some good Eagles teams with Donovan McNabb. They won a lot of games. And, yeah, that Super Bowl run, that included, he's 11-13. So, now, that's not sample size with bye. I'd have to go back and look at that.
Yeah.
But that is it's a 24-game sample size.
Did you kind of agree? Did you agree with me or did you agree with RJ that the playoff record to me is more?
Well, I think they're separate things.
Yeah.
Especially when you start seeing a trend like that. The problem is I'm also using that to justify why I'm playing a certain way if I'm playing indie, I'm looking for things that back that up.
That's fair.
And that,
but I'm not playing a side in this game. Well, oh yeah, I am playing a side. In this
game.
Yeah,
you are playing a side in this game. So
just kidding.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So we always do that, right? I mean, I tend to do that. You're going to pick out all the things that
I try my best not to do that, to backwards handicap.
Yeah,
like to make it a say. Okay, I want to pick this team. How can I do it?
Right.
That's. I mean,
but you're still going to use things like this when, to me, 24 games is enough of a sample size.
Agreed.
And I would take that separately, even if I were on the Chiefs in this. I would take that separately. But then I would try to take a look at his record off the actual buys.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's just... I don't know. But I do like... That is one I like. And I'm that Colts... Saints over. Saints team over, definite play.
Yeah, I kind of like that, too.
I'm up to two now. So, there we go.
Well, I like that we're all on the same stuff. I don't know did RJ give a decision on if he likes Colts or Chiefs?
No, he
waffled.
He waffled.
Ah.
But that's all right. You can't have an opinion on everyone and everything. And what he always does very well is give you both sides so that you make the
right
decision for yourself. So,
all right, get out to Republic Harley-Davidson today. See why they're Houston's number one Harley dealer. Over 200 bikes in inventory, the best customer service rating in the state. They are the clear choice. Staff is friendly, reliable, experienced, well-trained in every department. And during January, you choose your special, all the best of 2018 for January 2019. With a purchase of a new Harley-Davidson Republic from Republic, you get your choice of all the big specials that they had last year. Maintenance for life, a trip for two to Hawaii, zero down, zero payments till May. 3-year Republic Priority Maintenance Plan. I mean, they've got tons of options to choose from. And guys, go in and check it out. If you're in the market for a new bike, now is the time. And ladies, if you want to get into motorcycling, you've been looking to do that, Saturday, January 12th. If you're curious about motorcycling but don't know where to start, this is the event for you. Republic will talk bikes, gear, learning to ride in a no-pressure, no-judgment, no-experience-needed zone. Space is limited, so call today to reserve your spot. That's tomorrow, ladies, so get on out there. Come see why Republic is Houston's number one Harley dealer. Stop in and visit them, 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, or always open at republichd.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Make sure you check sportsmap.com.
Get on the map!
Get A.J.'s interview with Oscar De La Hoya. Top thing on the site. We'll be all weekend until I post something Sunday night. Somebody says, I forget how long you guys are on. Starting from 4, I went from Cypress to Missouri City, walked the dog, joined my family for dinner in Sugar Land, and you're still on. That's a long time to talk sports and stuff. It never feels like it's a long time for us. If it ever does, then I'll start worrying. And then Loon tweeted out his picture of Jesus Just Left Chicago. It arrived for him today.
There you go.
So thank you for purchasing, and I hope you love it. And if you don't love it, that's okay. I hope you at least like it or enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right, let's do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week. This side of the building doesn't have a water setup like they do on the other side. We really need to get that. At the management retreat, can you guys discuss that maybe?
I'll write it in my notebook.
Okay. You guys were doing trust falls and everything else? Ropes course.
Bonding.
Yeah. Bondage.
No, senor! No, senor. That was the Spanish call. That's generally what women tell me when I say anything to them. No, senor. In fact, they scream it that way.
Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
My computer is currently being worked on.
The gem of the day. The Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
But I do have some news for those of you who were hoping to go to Paris and go to the first nude restaurant there. Au Naturel, which opened in December 2017, closing.
So you could say it was a flash in a pan?
Say it was flaccid the pan. Flaccid the peen.
Oh, God, this show is really sagging. I don't want to say it.
I am addicted to their cheese plate.
And no, I will not sign the book in the bathroom.
So why is that the line?
It's inappropriate, John.
Yeah. How often does this happen to you? Where one of the workers out there comes in the bathroom and says, John, will you sign my timesheet while you're peeing?
Once or twice. I've done it. Yeah, I usually do it when he's pooping. I just slide it under the stall to him.
And then he'll turn the light off.
People are disgusting.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting.
Wesley Scott taken to county jail where they searched him. They found 3 syringes in his rectum. Do you go plunger in first or needle in first?
Would you have the plastic thing on the needle?
You got to have the plastic thing on the needle.
So yeah, handle first.
You want to try it?
No, I do not.
We can do that instead of a book signing.
No. Yeah, let's do that at the book signing.
No, not doing it. Not a chance in hell.
What about 3 Sharpies and you can sign everyone's books with your ass?
Not happening. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Eric Warner here and beer. Don't go anywhere.
What in the butt? I said what in the butt? You want to do it in my butt?
Whoa,
what the hell?
This is enough.
No, this has to stop. We're going to break.
Inappropriate. Stupid stuff. We've said
this week. If it's butt or poo, he's going to find
it. He loves it.
Yeah.
That Jong, he's...
That seemed a little much to
he's
me.
He's into that.
Yeah. All right. There's the music. Fun week. Fun show today. Tyler, after a shaky start there, you rallied pretty well. Going to give you a solid A.
What's coming up next, Tyler?
The Patrick Creighton Show.
Oh!
All right, so...
Creight!
I'm going to give you guys a little advice. Those of you who are going to hang around and listen... Just turn your radio
earmuffs
down just a little bit. Just a little bit, because it's going to be a little
bit louder.
You
producing that, T-Skis?
I will be tonight.
Oh, look at you. Back on the crate. You that's a gravy train for you, isn't it? You've
there
basically attached your career.
At some point.
Now, you've attached your career to Creighton's.
And Palillo.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to wrap it up.
Ride that pony.
Hope everybody has an awesome, awesome weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.